Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to this morning's study session from Mesa City Council for Thursday, December 13th, 2012. Councilmember Deanie Higgins, you on the phone, Deanie?
Yes, good morning.
Okay. First item on the agenda is to hear a presentation, discuss, and provide direction regarding an application for local historic landmark designation for the Information Technology Building, which is also the former Mesa Public Library, which is on the southwest corner of First Street and Centennial. Mr. Wesley.
Working. As you stated, we're here this morning to talk about the Information Technology Building located just east of where we're at this morning and potential for historic designation for this particular property. The Historic Preservation Board has been discussing this for the last few months and has made a recommendation regarding its status. I have with me this morning Donna Binge, the chair of the Historic Preservation Board. I'll be turning it over to her in just a moment so she can talk about the board's considerations and some of the historic significance behind this particular building and why the board is recommending this designation for this property. When she's done, I'll then talk a little bit more about the process for going through the designation, some of the impacts of that designation, where the staff is in terms of recommendation. So with that, I'll turn it over to Donna to talk about this. We also have Ron Peters in the audience who has been the principal research behind this and can also provide some details as might be necessary. Donna?
Good morning. The board has accepted the nomination of the building as a historic landmark by Ron Peters. And I've been able to talk to most of you about the building, the significance of it and so on. So I won't go into that too much. As you probably recall, the unique building was built in 1959, and it was originally our city library. At the time it was built, population in Mesa was not quite 50,000, but its citizens felt that it would grow. And they wanted to project a modern image for their city. So former council member Charles Hickman was chosen as the designing architect of the new library. He designed the structure in the post-World War modern style, and it has the precast concrete and steel exposed structural system and patterned concrete blocks. It's very similar to the award-winning U.S. Embassy in New Delhi, India, by the famous architect Edward Stone. So I'll pass these out. There are two pages. The second page, you'll see the concrete blocks in there. I think that the building here has blocks that are even a more pleasing design. There are a number of buildings worldwide in this particular design, many of which have won awards. During the period that Hickman was working, he also designed a lot of schools in Mesa, actually most of the elementary schools and Westwood High. At that time, Westwood was across the street from Farms and Beale's Dairy. The road west of Westwood on 8th Avenue or 8th Street didn't even go through to Alma School Road. It was a dirt road. But now we know that the vision of the community was correct. The modern city did grow, expanding very quickly. The designation of the building is not for the interior, but the exterior. We see no problems with the future of this sustainable resource, whether it's used as the information and technology headquarters or another entity. The modifications that might have to be made could be worked out so that the historic integrity of the building is preserved. Since Mesa is fortunate enough to have a municipal building of such renowned architecture, we feel that the citizens of our city would be proud to have it as a historic landmark for the heritage of our future citizens. We hope you will vote in favor of proceeding with this designation. Thank you. Ron, would you like to add to this?
I'm never short of words. Mr. Mayor, members of the council, Mr. Brady, the Mesa City Council doesn't have an action to take like the city of Phoenix is going through right now with the David Wright House. You could have something like that, but we don't have a Frank Lloyd Wright building in this city. We have buildings that were designed by local citizens, members of our community, members that sat on the city council. Charles Hickman was a very prominent architect in the valley and in this community. He was right beside Royal Lesher, who designed most of the buildings in downtown Mesa at the turn of the century. He was right there with Martin Ray Young, who was the first registered architect in the East Valley that helped to do a lot of buildings in this community. We have a chance to preserve some of our local historic architectural heritage. I compliment this council. You have moved forward in historic preservation far beyond what a lot of councils have done in the past. We do now have a historic ordinance. You're working to save the Diving Lady, which is very important to the roadside architecture of this community. You passed a bond issue to save the Buckhorn Baths. We're going to be having the State Historic Preservation Conference for the first time in 20 years in Mesa in 2013. We're going to be bringing over 300 to 500 preservationists and archaeologists to this community to show off Mesa and what we have done in historic preservation over the last 25 to 30 years. This is a very important municipal building within the downtown. We're not asking that this be put on the register at this point in time. We want to take the first step and have you, the leaders of this community, recognize the importance of this architectural heritage, of the architectural heritage of this community. We're not trying to resolve something and saying that the IT building can't do what they need to do within the within this structure. It can be done. Personally, I think the city needs to fund a new IT building and give them something that really works as an IT building. But that aside, the fact is that we can work with the IT building use and make this still an important piece of the architectural heritage of this community. I think we need to recognize the fact that we have had leaders in the East Valley. This building will be part of the architectural heritage portion of the American Institute of Architects, Architecture for the Valley. It's been recognized that way. I mean, they do see that this is very important to not only Mesa but the Valley. So I really would hope that the city would move forward with this landmark designation and recognize that this is a piece of this community's heritage. And, you know, after World War II, this was cutting-edge design. The New Delhi, as Don has shown you, the New Delhi done by Ed Stone, internationally renowned architect, we can see the influence that Ed had on Charlie Hickman when he was designing this building. Oscar Niemeyer recently died and passed away. He was the architect of Brasilia, free-flowing concrete forms that he used. And same time, Brasilia, 1954-59. We can see the influence that this international architecture had on Charles Hickman. So I think it's just something that we should preserve for the future citizens and, you know, the people growing up in this community can see where we were post-World War II. Thank you very much. I appreciate the time. Thank you very much.
Thank you. I have to apologize. I got a bit confused when you talked about the New Delhi architecture. I thought you were talking about the remodel of Jimmy John's. So I'm...
Mayor.
Mr. Wesley. Get it? New Delhi?
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you, Mayor.
You're welcome, Mr. Wesley.
Back on track. So, Mayor and Council, again, I want to go over a little bit about the process and some of the impacts that we've considered as we've looked at this. What's being requested by the Historic Preservation Board is we do apply the
historic landmark zoning overlay designation for this particular building. The process for that, if you agree to direct us to move forward, we'd go back through that zoning process, which would include the public notice and public hearings with the Historic Preservation Board first, making their review and recommendation to the Planning and Zoning Board. They would review it and make their recommendation back to council. So this would come back to council another time for actual consideration of that zoning overlay. If it is approved, what it would do in terms of its impact on the building and continued use of the building, normal maintenance continues, anything interior continues, the designation doesn't really apply to those things. What it really does is if there are any exterior modifications being looked at for the building, that would then have to come through the Certificate of Appropriateness process to the Historic Preservation Office. We would review it and look to make sure those modifications, changes would be things that could maintain the historic character and integrity of the building and the setting that is currently in. So those renovations, those remodels, additions, they could all happen, just need to be done in a way, again, that preserves that character of the building. Kind of the one interior thing that does hold some interest is in that entryway with a two-story glass and that floating stairway. That piece is important. You can see it from the exterior and is a kind of defining feature of the building also. But other than that, interior-wise, again, there's really no concern.
Now, is that specifically defined in the designation?
About that interior?
Yeah, or? I mean, you talk about the things that can be, that with the glass and the staircase, that it can be seen from the outside. Is that part of the designation process? You say the exterior plus this? Is there some kind of a definition of what the historical preservation is rather than just saying exterior doesn't apply to interior? Does that make sense?
Yes. When you read the ordinance, it does really just talk about those exterior features, about things you do on the outside that change.
But I think, well, I guess what I'm asking is if you can see something on the inside from the outside, is that an exterior item or is that an interior item?
In this case, Mayor, we're being specific to this building and that one particular piece. The ordinance doesn't really talk about that.
What I'm talking about is, as we designate, do we just say we designate the building, or do we go into specific features or whatever that are included in that designation?
Typically, when we do a designation, we like to look at and do include in the discussion what those defining features are, so that we have had that record, so we're looking at it in the future, we know what it is that's important. So in this case, when we come back to you with that staff report, it would outline those features and would talk about that entryway.
Okay, so part of our formal designation would include a specific description as to what we're talking about.
Yes.
Okay. Councilmember Richens.
Excuse me. In our last bond issue, didn't we set aside some money for the design or consideration of downtown urban plaza process? So I'm just wondering if we roll this process with that process so it's considered as a whole and in context instead of a standalone kind of thing.
And Mayor, Council, maybe, and we could maybe talk about that. I think, John, we have one more slide,
right,
to offer up a kind of a staff,
right,
maybe recommendation to what's being proposed. Right. Could we talk about that and then maybe?
Yeah, I mean, I'd love to consider that in the context of this design effort in downtown.
Sure.
Really, you know, put it in its context.
And that's fair.
You know, look at how it interacts with its site.
Right. No, all that's important.
It looks like there's three features on this, exterior features. The design itself, the front entryway, and then the...
Right.
That looks like a mistake. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a unique... Ron Peters about fell over in his chair right there. No, the wavy rear entryway.
Yeah, what we were trying to...
Which if we integrate it with whatever is done in the future, that now, instead of becoming a back door, actually in many ways becomes a front door.
Correct.
Okay. Yes. Yes, Mayor and Council, also discussed a little bit some of the impacts in terms of the information technology building and its use today, and representatives of that department here if you have questions for them specifically. But there is some concern because of the unique nature of what the building's being used for today and some of the needs that department has and we may have in the future as we address technology needs and things they may need to do to the building or with the building, and some concern that if we put this designation in place that might hamstring later the ability to address either emergency needs or special needs of that building as we move forward. So we did...
Well, let's get into that a little bit detail, because there have been some additions that seems, you know, as you walk out the back of this building, there's some power things, some other things that I doubt were there when it was used as a library, but appear to be specific to its current use.
Right. I think one of our greatest concerns, what we were suggesting is that entryway and
the wavy.
Certainly, those are something we would understand that those could be identified as being separate part. I think our most significant concern is, and we're having some challenges in a variety of our municipal buildings across the city, is the backup generators for a lot of our buildings are in the interior, in the basements of these facilities. The electrical power system for Municipal Plaza is in the interior, and we've had problems with flooding, and we're really working. Right now we're working, as many of you know, the communications center. We've had a lot of challenges with that, and so we're working on a plan ultimately to phase out so we can move a lot of this equipment to the exterior of our buildings. And so there's things like that that we're, the only thing we're concerned about, I think, is, I mean, if the, we could operate and not touch the exterior, we'd be fine with that. But not knowing needs like that where we're going to have to, like, add on, like we've done to the building already, putting generators on pads that are adjacent to the building. So we're trying to figure out where the balance is and trying to preserve the uniqueness of the building.
Well, let's get there. I mean, I know it's dangerous to deal with hypotheticals, but let's say you had to add on some generator and the only way to do it was on the back or whatever. You know, it would seem to me that as long as that the primary concern would be to maintain the architectural integrity of the building itself, which means you have some sort of screening or something that would cause the addition to blend in. And I mean, once again, I know this is hypothetical, which is tough, but is that the right, is that what you would look at if you were looking at a certificate of?
Certificate of appropriateness?
Appropriateness, yeah.
Yes.
Is that the kind of thing you'd look at?
Yes, Mayor. The Secretary of Interior has standards for how you address remodels, additions, modifications to existing buildings. And so there are some standards we'd look at and use. It's not that the additions, the remodels, those things couldn't happen. They sure can. Just need to be done in a way that maintains that integrity. So usually you're looking for something that would separate it maybe a little bit or use a little bit of a different style that's appropriate. You don't want to try to make it look like the old building. You want to keep it clear. This was the old building and here's what's new. So we'd look at the appropriate ways to do that in this particular setting.
Yeah. Councilor Richens?
I mean, I can't imagine that this building suits our IT needs well into the future. If you look at the modern design of IT and the architecture that, I mean, it puts all the cabling in the floor and there's all these different things at these IT server farms. I can't imagine that a building built in 1959 is going to serve our long-term IT needs. So
I don't disagree.
That being said, you know, is it that huge a concern? Because I would suppose that IT is going to eventually have to migrate out of there, that it's not going to be suitable for the needs of our IT.
I agree, but I'm trying to, it's difficult for me to see beyond 10 years that's going to change right now.
Right. Right.
So, and actually, if you look at a farm, the migration is that you would go to a third. You'd go to a third party.
Yeah, we would go off campus completely. Yeah,
but we wouldn't own it. It would be
right.
A third party.
Well, AT&T down on Alma School and University has one of the biggest server farms.
You know, Google, Microsoft. There's all these companies that run cloud type things. My guess is we'd migrate to the cloud, which is operated by third parties.
Right.
And Mayor Council, one of the great things about this particular building is its design and the architecture system that it has. It makes it very functional for a wide variety of uses.
Yeah,
while it moves around that interior space.
I really think eventually you return it back to civic use. You know, some kind of gathering space or some kind of,
especially if you have a urban plaza.
Yeah, exactly.
Councilman Cavanaugh.
Thank you. I support the recommendations of the board, and this comes. I have long history with this issue. I was on the Museum and Cultural Advisory Board that recommended that the council adopt a historic landmark zoning designation process, and that was 20-plus years ago. And this building really, as John said, is incredibly functional inside because you don't have all the interior columns. You have tremendous amount of open space on the inside, which makes the building incredibly versatile. And the use of materials in the building really almost a guarantee a structure that will stand for hundreds of years. And the exterior of the building is really very pristine if you look at it, considering the age of the building, the roof, the columns, everything like that. There are very distinctive features in that entryway, the floating stairway, and that northeast entrance to the library is a very impressive feature that I think if we do more work in downtown, that's also a place to build around. Originally, that had water feature fountains associated with it, and I think dramatic lighting, and so it's it really has there's some unique characteristics on the exterior of the building. The passive shading that was used in that building is pretty, again, pretty remarkable for the architecture of the time. And if you think about it, as a city, you have really three interesting examples of this similar style of architecture all in one block, with the building we're in now and the municipal building to the west. It's quite a concentration of this type of architecture that you rarely see in other American cities. I've gone to the National Trust for Historic Preservation Conference the last couple of years, and I was there last month, and it was nice when I told people where I was from that they talked about Mesa's efforts to on the buckhorn bass and the diving lady, and the fact that we do have an active historic preservation board was nice to be recognized in that way, and it's very I think it's very appropriate that we have the State Historic Preservation Conference here. I think the I think issues that staff is concerned about are legitimate issues, but I think they can be dealt with having the landmark designation, the local designation. We can do that, but we can still work through the staff issues and maintain the integrity and character of the building. So I would hope we would favorably consider our advisory board's recommendations.
You brought up something that I'd like some clarification on. You say the Department of Department of Interior has some guidelines. How does the local designation work in concert with, and why are we talking about Department of Interior guidelines? I mean, this is a local designation, right? So what does the Department of Interior have to do with it?
Mayor, it's just a reference for us to use in terms of how cities do address these issues.
And okay, is it just a reference, or is it actually included in the ordinance that requires?
No, Mayor, it's not included in the ordinance. It's just a reference, a professional level to look at. So as we looked at this, we did consider several options that were mentioned in your report. One is to determine to not to do anything right now. One would be, as Councilmember Richens mentioned, there is the idea of restudying this entire municipal block, and so maybe it's a postponement right now and consider this in context of the entire block and come back and revisit the issue at that point. The other option, again, is the recommendation of the board to proceed with the zoning overlay, and then an intermediate option that staff put into the report, and is our recommendation at this point, again, because it continues to allow us to balance the different needs, is to have council come back at a separate meeting and approve a resolution recognizing the historic significance of this building, recognizing those key features, and committing to maintaining those key features and having the Historic Preservation Office work with the departments and modifications that happened to the building in the interim to maintain those key characteristics, and in that way address the primary need for historic designation, but keep a little bit more flexibility in there.
Okay. Councilman Richens, building upon what you said and what Mr. Wesley just said, what would your proposal be that we not formally take action now, but have an intent and as we go forward with that planning, recognize that this might be the case? Or would you like to, or are you proposing to do a designation now, or just completely drop the issue until that planning is done? Or I guess those are the three options that I heard.
I don't see any substantial threat right now. I mean, we don't have any bulldozers posed. We don't have any remodeling plans, and I would love to do it in a context, because maybe you restore some of those historic features in the process of the downtown plaza planning. And then as we roll that out, we roll out the historic preservation. Then it makes sense into everything that we're doing instead of kind of a standalone thing. I mean, I wouldn't mind waiting, but I'm supportive of this. I think that we should preserve some of our early architecture. But I just, wouldn't mind rolling it up.
So what, not trying to put words in your mouth, but what you're saying is that if you're supportive of this, then whoever is doing the planning, they understand that this is our intention.
Right.
And so they put that in context for any plans they do, but they can also work within maybe more flexibility to do the overall plan.
Right, because I'd love to see, as we go through that process, we look at some of the historic landscaping, some of the historic water features that might have existed at the time, how the wave feature can be made more prominent, incorporated into the process, to make it a lot more interesting. But
yeah, that was one question I have, because the trees in the front from that picture, the trees have grown quite high in front of the windows, almost to block the view to the interior. Is landscaping included in that designation? Because I'm not sure that that's what they intended. We've allowed the trees to grow, and when it's a library, you wanted that flow through. As an IT building, it doesn't seem like that's really the preferred alternative. So would you? Yeah, you want it blocked in many ways. So would that affect the landscaping specifically in those planters in the southwest corner?
Mayor, the landscaping can play an important role in keeping the setting appropriate for the building itself. The landscaping can change quite a bit too, so it's not really necessarily part
of
that.
Okay, so you're looking more at architectural as the sticks itself. And bricks.
Right. Do we have any imagery from the original building or any of the original design plans and stuff? Were there fountains out front? I thought Dennis mentioned that.
The water feature.
Mr. Mayor, members of council, the water feature was designed in as part of the original concept from Charles Hickman. I wasn't here then, so I can't tell you if it was actually constructed. I've got the original drawings, and the original drawings show the fountain. That was a water feature with a spray that came up and really highlighted. It was very much like that, really highlighted. I do have pictures of the original.
I mean, that raised an interesting question. Would adding something that was designed but never built, therefore it is part of the historic but it's not part of the historic, would that create a major, would we be precluded from actually building something that was planned but never built?
Mr. Mayor, no. The interesting thing about a landmark status, which really cities use to their benefit, because you can write into a landmark identification whatever you want.
Okay.
This is not like a National Trust nomination to go on the, as a National Trust property. This is landmark. This is city. The city controls what they do and don't do with landmark status. You can write in the trees and the landscaping. You can write in anything you want.
Okay.
That gives you the control to identify what you want to make landmark status. And, the trees can go. You're exactly right. The trees weren't there originally when it was done. The glass was put on the north side of the building because it's less sun intensive.
Right.
And so, once again, the architecture was very ahead of his time in sustainable design and how he designed the building. But this gives you, the city, the right to write into that landmark designation anything you want.
Okay.
It's not a national property. So,
Is there any... I can't even think. Opposition to moving ahead and pursuing this this designation on the council. Yeah. Councilmember Higgins?
No, Mayor, I'm fine.
It's not very loud in here. Sorry about that. Okay, so with what Mr. Peter said in mind and what I think Councilmember Richens has said, once staff move ahead with some specific designation, I'd like to see a specific proposal rather than just some blanket that I don't know. I don't want to create something that comes back and creates issues down the road. And I think you've heard some concerns, staff concerns, and other things that I think can be addressed in the city designation.
Mr. Mayor, if you look at the Irving School, which was, I think, the city of Mesa's first landmark designation, we came back later and put two cooling towers at the back of that property. We couldn't do heating and air conditioning the way it was originally designed. There's two freestanding cooling towers that are at the back of that building that you don't even see because we're screened out. And you can make architecturally any modifications to that building that you want in compliance with the landmark designation.
Well, since I didn't hear any opposition, I guess the direction is move ahead. Take into account, I think it's to our benefit to take into account the activities that are going to take place with the overall urban plaza. Not that one is dependent on the other, but it's great to add those. And maybe it gives us an opportunity to go back to some of the original drawings and look at some of this landscaping, like the trees, and maybe actually restore it more to the original thing. Because, frankly, as a kid, I went to that library all the time. I never read any books in there, but I did go in there. It's really sort of the architectural, which is that open window, has really been blocked by landscaping that I think has purposely been allowed to grow up. That's something we might want to look at as part of this designation, if you want to restore that so you do have that visual going in. I mean, it's we've basically hidden one of the most prominent architectural features. And like you said, Ron, it's on the northeast side, so it doesn't get direct sun in from any time, which was ahead of its time. So is that sufficient enough direction? Please. Move ahead with... Bring us some more definition and take into account the...
Now that we know the mayor read a book there, slam dunk.
Yeah. I actually did read a book there. It was fun. Okay.
Thanks, Mayor.
Thank you. Next item, here presentation discussed by direction on recruitment and hiring of the city clerk, Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. We've provided a memo to council, just kind of a draft preliminary process for the council to consider as recruitment for the position of city clerk. As we know, our current city clerk will be retiring January 8th of next year, and so we want to just be putting in place a process and get council's feedback on a process. So this is kind of a straw man, so just took a shot at it for the council. And so the idea is that we would do a local and national advertising for this position in different publications and professional publications. We'd allow for the advertisement position to be available for approximately 60 days. We think that'll allow us to get it in a couple of different cycles of the different publications. What we would propose then is that taking all the applications, that then we would provide the council with a preliminary list of what we would consider the 10 or 12 most qualified applicants, and we'd bring that to the council. We'd bring that list of 10 or 12 to the council, and then the council could then select six or seven, five or six, whatever you felt like a number from that group that you felt that were the strongest candidates, that then would be interviewed, go to an interview panel. We're proposing, and this was just kind of trying to come up with a composition, it might include a peer, a city clerk from one of the neighboring cities, someone from the city attorney's office, city manager's office, and then I thought it would be helpful to have a former elected city official, because I know there's a lot of interaction with the clerk, with the elected official, so I thought maybe there could be someone, former official that the council may want to choose to sit on this panel. That panel would interview the six or seven individuals and then propose a final group of two or three back to the council for you to have a final interview. So this was just kind of an attempt to come up with a straw man. We're certainly open to any other ideas the council may have.
Councilman Richens.
I wouldn't mind seeing a representative from police or fire. I think they handle their employee election or their union elections.
Public safety, retirement.
Public safety. Yeah, I mean, I wouldn't mind having one of those guys.
That's fine.
There.
Yes. I sit on that same board, so.
Yeah.
Okay. Councilman Glover.
I don't know if we should be doing a national search, only because if someone comes in nationally, they have a bigger learning curve. Arizona's laws for public safety retirement benefits, records laws, and election laws are entirely different from other states. So I think we would be able to get a better candidate from just Arizona. That's just my opinion.
Councilor Fender?
The only input I would have is, or maybe you could tell us, how do we ensure that we get a candidate pool with diversity emphasis? Do you do that through the consultant? Do we need to send that message now? How does that work?
Well, Mayor, Councilmember Fincher, we were not proposing in this process to hire a consultant. So if we're going to do that outreach, I think what we'd want to make sure is that we were careful to or make sure we put it in as many publications, a variety of publications, diversity of publications, so we could get that word out, so that we could try to do an outreach to all segments of the population. So I'm sure I could work with the city clerk to identify where that might be. I'm not sure I have a great answer to that one. Maybe Linda can help me out with that one. I mean, obviously, we would try to be as broad as we can if there's some specific publications.
Here would be my concern. Publishing is great. Many times, the person that you want to hire for a job never will apply for the job. And I think if you look at our history, I'm not sure whether that's the same thing with the clerk's position, and maybe Linda can give us a little bit more. I'm looking at maybe you're an assistant clerk in another city in town, and you don't want them to know that you might be. It would seem to me it would be natural for them to be mm-hmm. applying. But on the other hand, there's somewhat of a reluctance to put your hat into the ring and have it be public record. And if we do it this way, it would basically be public record, whereas a consultant can actually make that discreet phone call and say, listen, would you be interested in doing this, which we do in every job. Even if it's not technically, I think the fear, Debbie, is that people would do that. I don't know.
No,
I'm just throwing it out on the table to see whether we might be better off to at least have somebody who could perhaps
intermediary
to do a little, whether you call it a consultant or whatever, that would at least contact people to find out if we do get the best person in state.
Mayor, what I was going to add is under the public records law, the names of the individuals who apply are not subject to disclosure until they're actually a finalist and interviewed. So there is a legally, their names can remain confidential until they proceed to a certain level.
I get that, but I think if I'm out there and if I'm an assistant clerk, I'm not going to send it into almost a blind box and hope that the city follows that. Whereas if there's an intermediary, I feel much more comfortable with having those discussions because it's not just going into a stack that may or may not be protected.
And maybe what we can do in addition to that is we can put on there that, you know, the names will remain confidential.
If that works, what I've seen is it's a pretty tight fraternity among city clerks in the state.
Is there a city clerk recruiter? Is there a company that does that kind of?
You're correct, Mayor. It is a tight circle. The clerks meet very frequently. We have our own listserv. We share information. Mm-hmm. It's a great group. I know a lot of the cities like Tempe. I've had personal experience with that, where they've used recruiters.
Okay.
And I was, as you talked about, confidentially approached and asked about the position. I know recently there's been a lot of switching around of clerks and deputy city clerks in Arizona. There's been a lot of hirings, and there is a pool out there. I mean, I've seen these jobs filled locally. That isn't to say don't go nationally. I'm just saying, or don't use a recruiter, but I'm saying there are people out there do it. The clerks are always looking to see exactly what you said. There's a deputy. There might be the city clerk is in there, and who knows when that person's going
to be. There might be a city clerk of a smaller city who wants to move up.
Or a city
clerk. Do you think, within this fraternity, since you know them, would they be more open to talking to a third party, an intermediary, as opposed to going direct city, or would it matter that much? You know the group.
I know the group, and I haven't seen any hesitancy in the jobs that have opened up, okay. I would say, over the past year that I've watched get filled.
Okay. Councilmember Kavanaugh?
I kind of agree with Councilmember Glover's comments. I think that there is a big pool in Arizona of people who could be qualified for this position, and I think we need to look at the attributes of the position. I think we would have strong candidates internally and externally. I think we could have people who have served in clerk positions or deputy positions. You could have people who have served as municipal attorneys who would be appropriate for this. You would have people who have served in other capacities in municipal government, assistants to mayors, assistants to city councils. I think you could have former municipal elected officials who, through their work, again, would know a lot of the ins and outs of the position and could serve well. It's a high profile position that has multiple responsibilities, but we do have very unique public records laws in Arizona, and again, particularly on the public safety retirement side, I chaired that board for 8 years, and some of it's still a mystery to me in terms of how the process works. And so there are some unique characteristics in Arizona in terms of election law, public records, and public safety retirement that I think we're more likely to find stronger candidates from within the state. But I think we should bear in mind that the pool of people we could get, we've got, again, great internal folks. Externally, I think you shouldn't just limit yourself to people who are clerks or deputy clerks. I think there's a variety of talent that could serve well in the position.
Councilman Finder?
With regard to pay, I know that we'd had some evaluation along those lines in the past. So how do, have we taken a quick snapshot look at, say, where, you know, there's an individual at, I hate to say the specific name, City of Phoenix, City of Tucson, but they're a deputy position, but don't they get paid more than what our current clerk gets, and does that cause a problem? Is that something we need to look at or talk about ahead of time if there's a talent that we're trying to get?
Mayor, Councilor Finder, that's a great question. If you'd give us, maybe we give us some time, we could go look at that. And I know there's a lot of recent salary surveys have been done by quite a few communities now. Phoenix completed one, Scottsdale's completed one, and Gilbert's about ready to release there. So we could go back and look at that information. And if we need, maybe come back to council before we advertise to at least identify maybe there's an adjustment that needs to be made in the range or what we're offering. Again, this is a contract position with the council, so at the end of the day, you'll have the discretion to negotiate that. But if it's helpful sometimes, at least during the recruitment, and individuals may ask kind of what the salary range is, that may be helpful to know what that is. We can look into that, and if we identify there's an issue, we certainly want to get back to council and let you know.
Mr. Brady, I also have a clerk salary studies that I can provide you.
That would be good.
Okay.
So is the direction, I'm not sure, is the direction of the council, would you like us to bring on a consultant to do a modified search, or are you comfortable with us maybe even calling? I mean, I hear what you're asking. I mean, suggesting is that we want to make sure we maybe do not just assume that everybody's going to look at a advertisement, that maybe we need to do some actual calling.
No, you won't get everybody.
So would you like us to have
really good people? A lot of times, not all the time, mm-hmm. Are not looking to move. They're because they're happy in what they do. You know, the thing that worries me about advertisements is you get two types of people. You have people who look at it as a great opportunity to move up. You'll get those, especially in this unique position. You also get people who are unhappy where they are. I don't want to hire someone who's unhappy where they are. Mm-hmm. I want to hire someone who looks at this as a great opportunity. And many times, those people are very happy where they are, and they need to be nudged. They're not looking in the want ads. They're not looking in the trade publication, whatever it would be. That doesn't even occur to them to go to that sector. And yet that might be the perfect person for this job. So I would like to have somebody involved who actually does that.
Okay.
I don't think this needs to be, because of the really tight pool, and I don't think it's a limited pool, but I think it is a very small fraternity. It's not like I think it's different than a chief of police where you do have a nationwide interest, even if you wanted to keep it in state. But I would feel more comfortable if we had a third party involved who could really go talk to people that aren't going to consider this unless someone is proactive, gives them a call and said, "Had you considered it? Would you consider this?" And they finally go, "Yeah, you know, gee, I might." That's been my experience, but maybe the clerks are different. I don't know.
No, you make some very valid points. And I also, what Councilmember Kavanaugh's comments were right on, too. It's not just the clerk pool.
Yeah,
that's an extended pool with varied experiences, but it interacts with the job.
And I think that if you have a third party, that if there is a city attorney, a citizen attorney, they're going to feel much more comfortable talking to somebody who's not directly a City of Mesa employee. Because if I'm an assistant city attorney and I'm applying for a clerk's position, I might not have confidence that was going to be kept confidential, my inquiry, and therefore that puts my current job in jeopardy. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's how I'd feel if I were in that position. Whereas if there's a third party, you have a lot more confidence, because that's a standard way of executive recruitment. This is an executive position, and this is an important job. I think that we take for granted what happens in the clerk's office because our clerks do such an incredible job of making it seamless. But I know that many times we talked about the elections. That was a dicey situation that really, you know, without the clerk's office and Linda specifically, when I'm talking about the certification elections for the employee groups, you know, that was a dicey situation, and everyone's told me that, you know, Linda was the bridge that got us across that. So it's a very, very important position. We want to make sure we have the right person, which means I'd like to make sure that we talk to anybody and everybody who not only is interested, but who might be a good person. So
we can do that.
Like I said, I don't think it needs to be a full-blown.
No, I understand. Yeah, it's a modified.
It's more of a recruitment, and then they can turn it over to you, and we can do the we can do the narrowing, because I don't think the pool of applicants is going to be
right
that deep.
Right. Okay.
Or that large, not okay. not that deep, that large.
Okay.
So that's what I would suggest, is somebody simply to recruit, process, give to your staff so they can then narrow it down, which is different than what we ask in the police or some of the other, where we ask them to actually do interviews and do. I don't know that we need the recruiter
okay.
to do that. Does that sound okay?
We can do that. Okay, great. Okay. Good.
Councilor Merrigan, are you okay with that?
That sounds fine to me, Mayor.
Okay. All righty.
Good. Thanks.
Thank you. Do we need to go into exec to discuss
it's up to
this?
Council.
Has everyone been briefed on
probably
this?
Not.
No.
Okay, then we need to go into exec council. All right. Item 2A we will handle after we get out of executive session, because the council has not been briefed on the proposal as far as the interim city clerk, and since it is a personnel matter, we'll go into executive session right now. We have a motion from the vice mayor, second from Councilmember Glover. All in favor say aye. We're moving into executive session. We'll come back to finish the agenda in just a few short minutes. Thank you. Dina?
Yes.
Okay.
Good morning.
Now I have item 2A. Ms. Crocker.
Yes, Mayor. I'll be retiring effective January 8th, and I would like to recommend to you the interim appointment of my deputy city clerk, Deanne Mickelson.
Okay. We have a motion from Councilmember Kavanaugh, a second from Councilmember Glover. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Councilmember Higgins, how do you vote?
I vote aye.
Okay. Motion is unanimous. It carries. So, Deanne?
Congratulations.
Congratulations. Looking forward to working with you. I know you'll do a great job. Thank you. All right, the next item is acknowledge receipt of minutes of boards and committees. I have a motion from the vice mayor, second from Councilmember Glover. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Hear reports of meetings and conferences attended. None. Mr. Brady.
Thank you, Mayor. Just a reminder, tomorrow we have the pancake breakfast. Councilman
Saturday.
Saturday. Oh, Friday. Sorry. Saturday, we'll have the pancake breakfast at Fire Station
207.
So invite everybody out to that.
And that is where?
What is the?
Dobson.
Dobson and what's the crossroad? Or by the library?
Right at the library.
At the library. Dobson Library. So. And a reminder, we will be meeting next Thursday, December 20th at 7:30 a.m. And our first study session in 2013, I know you're looking forward to that, will be January 10th. Thank you very much.
Okay. Mrs. Crocker, do we have any requests to speak?
No requests, Mayor.
All righty. I have a motion to adjourn from Councilmember Richens, a second from Councilmember Fenter. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We're adjourned.
Aye.